Welcome to the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. If you're looking to get more out of your Shenandoah Valley experience, then this is the podcast for you. You'll meet interesting people, the comedians that perform here, and find out more about what you can do and see. Whether you live here or plan to visit, listen to explore what helps make up our unique slice of heaven. Now here's your host, Dawn Davis Womack.
Hello, laughers. I'm excited to introduce you to Tracy Strait, Executive Director of the Wayne Theater in Waynesboro. The historic Wayne Theater Ross Performing Arts Center is a premier live entertainment performance venue with quite a history of making an impact on the community since it first opened its doors as the Vaudeville House in 1926. The goal of the Wayne's restoration and reopening in 2016 was the theater would be a gift to the community where all ages could come together to be educated, enriched, enlightened, and enchanted. Thus far, they've had patrons from 33 states and numerous countries. They are the first theater experience for many students. And to date, more than 14,000 students have come through the doors for their arts education program. This program offers performances for pre-K through adults and encourages the community to be lifelong learners. Welcome to the show, Tracy. It's great to have you on today.
Thank you so much for having me.
This is exciting.
Yes.
It really is. I had so much fun scouring your website, and you have a virtual tour and you do a beautiful walkthrough of the facility. And there's just so much information to share. I just couldn't wait to get on here today to have you talk with us about all things the Wayne.
Well, I really appreciate, you know, you reaching out and the interest, because the arts are such an important part of feeding the soul.
They are. We need it more than ever with the collective trauma we've all been in the last couple of years. And I'm curious, I have a feeling you have a background in the arts, which is how you ended up at the Wayne. So what is your background and how did you find your way to becoming the executive director there?
Well, I actually did major in music education and taught school, public school, all ages, pre-K through 12th grade for 9 years. And in 1998, I was working with community theater with another woman, and the city wanted to make the theater a parking lot. And she reached out to me and said, "Do you think your kids would ever want to perform at the Wayne?" I said, "What are you talking about?" And so we got together. And at the time, I was on the Waynesboro Culture Commission, still am. And so she thought through that avenue that possibly I could ask the city for a little bit of time. And, you know, let's see if we can gather a group that either had a love of wanting to save a historic building, wanting to bring some economic vitality back to downtown Waynesboro, because Waynesboro was full of lots of industry with DuPont and Wayne Techs and GE, all these where the industry had moved away and the downtown had really become a ghost town. There wasn't something to bring people downtown and to embrace. Walmart and Target industry had built up by the interstate, and that's where the construction was happening. So either wanting to save a historic building, bring some economic vitality back to downtown, or create a place also for the arts. And of course, I was behind it 100% and came on as a volunteer with her, just gathering other people together and starting to spread the word. We asked the city for a little bit of time and they agreed and they helped fund a couple of studies. And we formed the Wayne Theater Alliance in 2000 and then got our nonprofit status in 2002. And we just started creating lots of events to bring people together to kind of what could this be, always with education being a strong component. And then we hired our first executive director in 2006 and started our capital campaign in 2007 and started and stopped construction three times. And during that time, we, in 2012, we opened a place downtown Waynesboro, a storefront called The Gateway. We named it that because it was kind of the gateway to then opening the Wayne Theater. And we had 120 seats and a small thrust stage built by volunteers. And we started programming on the weekends. And I did this all as a volunteer until 2014. At the time, the executive director, Claire Myers, he had retired from another college. He never wanted to run the theater. And that was made clear from the beginning. But, and so, you know, they invested in me conferencing and building relationships 4 years before the theater even opened, because we knew that was a really strong component in bringing talent. And you started to see now a restaurant come downtown and then another one. There weren't restaurants downtown Waynesboro until we opened The Gateway. Oh, it gave people purpose to start coming in. And so I've evolved into this position and have loved it ever since. And we opened our doors in March 1st of 2016.
What? That's my birthday, March 1st. Really? Yes.
That's a long story, but really it was fueled by volunteers. It was led through by volunteers. And it is almost like a gift given back to the community.
That's so beautiful. I'm so happy to hear that story. I didn't know anything about it. And it's just filled with a lot of passion and love for the community and love for the arts. It's beautiful. So thanks for sharing that.
And there were lots of speed bumps along the way. I can tell you, we were one of the first projects to use new market tax credits. We also used historic tax credits and one of the largest amounts raised by a volunteer organization here in Waynesboro of $4 million for a total of a $10 million project. And we just stayed positive and persevered. And that was the key behind it, to opening the doors.
Yes. Never give up.
That's right.
I love it.
And we continue to live by that, whether it be COVID or all the challenges that may come our way.
That's right, because it's life-giving to do what you do. It's life-giving and fabulous. So this is going to be really exciting to talk about it more. The Wayne was originally a vaudeville house. I think that's so fascinating, in 1926, and originally a home for silent movies before the talkies. I want to know, are there original elements of the building that were kept and preserved in the restoration?
Absolutely. And that was one of our sources of funding, was the historic tax credits. So we preserved what we could historically, yet we have new infrastructure to be new state-of-the-art performing arts center. So as you walk in the building, you'll see the original terracotta and off-white tile around the crown molding of the lamb's tongue, the base, and the floret molding. You can see a relief of the original box office. The marble around our current box office is cut out of the same quarry as the one in 1926 in Italy. And the original of the 1926 is still on the outside of the building. We stayed within that footprint, and maybe some of the original elements that we may not have wanted to save, like, for instance, a specific wall in the very back of the building where it would have been more cost effective to take it down and put it back up. However, it was part of the historic footprint, which was part of the historic tax credit. So, you know, we had to save that. And we have the historic stained glass windows. In the historic part, the floors are laid correctly, like they would have been, the molding. We have the original historic staircase going up to the balcony. And so we could only put back what could be absolutely documented. And so we're thrilled to have some of those elements still within the building, but yet have the new state of the art lighting and sound and comfortable seats and, you know, those types of things, ample bathrooms, you know, that people really want it.
Yeah. Those are needs. Comfortability in a theater, you know, is a need. Yeah. Well, it, some would say want, but I say need. You have 4 spaces available for your programs, events, and rentals. They include the performance hall, which is the theater, the custom cabaret, your exhibit gallery, and the historic stained glass room. How are these spaces typically used, and what should we know about them?
So each space can function independently of one another, or an event where we use all of the spaces. Our auditorium has 385 seats, and even in the balcony, it's a very intimate feeling. There's a curvature to the bullnose of the front of the balcony and the walls on the side of the balcony. Also, the railings on the bullnose of the balcony that curve and are just a beautiful aesthetic. They were hand done, part of the art of the project. 80% of the walls in the auditorium are covered with acoustic panels, so the sound is amazing. And it's comfortable seats, very nice legroom in the first couple rows of the balcony. We do allow concessions in all areas of our theater. And so that's important. People want to know they can come and have a drink and take it on in. So our auditorium is used for all kinds of things, performances. It's also used for events. And it is really fun to fly all of the lines. We have a 22 counterweight rigging system, and each line holds either a curtain, an electrical of lights. One of the lines holds our cinema screen where we show film. We have a white cyclorama on the back where we can show all kinds of lighting and projections. But there are times where we will just fly it all in the 45-foot high fly loft and have tables on the stage and make the stage actually an event space. Parties will bring out the disco ball for you, or even just an intimate dinner for two looking out onto the auditorium. So it's fun. It's very functional. We also have 2 technical booths in the auditorium, one below that does not have glass, so the sound engineer can hear real live what's going on, and we can separate the sound and lighting engineers, move the lighting and videographers to the upper booth. So that's the auditorium.
Beautiful. What about the custom cabaret? That's a smaller space, right? But it's also a performance space?
Yes, it is painted black. It also has acoustic panels. It is like our little black box. It's a very intimate space. There is no fixed seating in the cabaret. Everything is movable and functional. It makes a great edgy look at night for a jazz club. We have our improv comedy shows up there. It has its own outdoor entrance. So you can access that space without even coming through the main auditorium, unless you need the elevator for the accessible use, because it is on the 2nd floor. But it also serves as a green room. When we bring a dance company, a lot of times they'll put the older dancers downstairs in the green room and the younger ones upstairs. And then they have a very specific check-in process because it has its own entrance. We have a lot of rehearsals there for our productions. So it's a very flexible space. We'll also put the disco ball up there if you want to have a party. But it's a fun party place before or after any show in the auditorium. And the bathroom located off of that space is this funky coral salmon color that's super fun. And so that's the Custon Cabaret, named for Gene Custon, dear friend of the theater.
Oh, okay. Ah, dear friend, what should we know about Jane, since it's a dear friend of the theater and the space is named after?
Yes, Jane. Well, I just celebrated with Jane her 96th birthday.
Oh my goodness. Happy birthday, Jane.
That's right. On May 14th, her and my mother share the same birthday. And so, we love Jane. Absolutely. And we look forward to having more jazz in the space because she loves jazz. We also have a play coming up, Vanya and Sonia and Masha and Spike, and that will be in the cabaret. So
fun.
We usually seat 50.
Okay.
And it's the same chairs that we used down at the Gateway, you know.
Cool. Yeah. That's a nice tie in the history of your space. That's exciting. And there's an exhibit gallery, too.
Yes.
So in the exhibit gallery, what types of artwork would laughers see in there? And how often do you change it up?
So Liz Moss themes and curates our exhibit gallery. She has retired from the Wayne Theater, but continues on in this position. And we just love her for that. She is amazing. And every 3 months, the artwork changes. And you can buy it. Everything is for sale. And this last show just closed this past week. We open a new one next week. And we sold more than we had ever in a show before with this last artist. And this theme right now for the next 3 months is contemporary and traditional quilts. It's the first time we've had that. So every 3 months is a different theme, a variety of mediums that come in. And it is also a very flexible, functional space where we have dinners. It has a large screen at one end, makes great for a meeting. A very flexible space, a fun space to have a party before or after a show, a rehearsal dinner, but a very different look and feel than the cabaret. This is more of a traditional, it's a wood floor, there's lighting, and you're in an art gallery, which adds a great visual component to the theater. We open our doors 1 hour before every show, and we encourage people to come, grab a drink, and meet your friends and enjoy the exhibit gallery before showtime. So,
what a great idea. And I didn't know that either. See, this is why I talk to people, Tracy. Because if I don't know, laughers probably don't know either. Now we're all getting educated. It's just good. And there's a neat other special room I would love you to give us some more information about, and that's the historic stained glass room, because I understand those stained glass windows are tied to your logo for the theater. I imagine that space is a bit smaller too. So can you speak more on the historic stained glass room and tell us more about it?
Yes. So we call that space the Loudermilk Lounge, and it's named for John and Betty Loudermilk, great friends of the theater. It is the only space in the theater that's not accessible. There are, I think, 4 or 5 steps leading up to the space. There wasn't enough room to put a ramp. So that is the one thing about this space. It has a bar, movable bar. It also serves as a secondary concession space to the theater. The floor is laid historically correct. It's part of the historic part of the building. We have had a ladies' luncheon in there. Originally, I'm told in 1926, they played poker in the room.
That's fun.
I love giving tours and hearing all of the stories of people through the years that have been to the theater. But during construction, you're constantly giving tours and constantly making decisions. And there was just something not right with the space. And it took me about a month. I just could not figure it out. But every time, every tour, every time walking in the space, it just did not feel right. Something wasn't right. And it just finally dawned on me one day when I was up there that the ceiling had been put straight across. which then we did not see the very top of the window. And I ever so kindly said, no, I didn't really do it like that, just in my mind. But
it's great, Tracy.
you got to back that off. We've got to capture the full window. So, with a kind smile, I expressed that strongly, and the construction team was awesome, and they did it. And now you can walk in, you see the full window. So they may not know it. They may find out on this podcast, but that's why I had the top of the window as our logo. It's kind of my little payback.
Oh, that's beautiful. Well, I'm glad you fought for that, because I think it's a really unique and special aspect of just not only the history, but your logo. And
it does make a difference, really, walking into that space. You want to see the full window. And a little secret, I don't know if you've noticed before, or something that your viewers can see if they come to the theater and visit that space, is there is one panel between the two windows that has pinks and blues and purples, and is distinctly different than the others. And I'm still waiting to hear the story on that one.
Oh, so you're still, there's some investigation going on to find out why that one's different. Ooh, well, that could be another fun video to put on your website when you figure that out, because I think people would want to know that. You've got really neat elements in your space, in your theater. I loved hearing about on the virtual tour that you have your hydraulic orchestra pit. And so I thought it'd be fun to share with the laughers how that's used. And tell us more about that piece, because I think that's really wonderful part of your theater.
So we have these four huge hydraulics, and it can be lowered all the way down. That's where we have musicians. That's where we also hide our baby grand piano. And we do keep it plugged in for temperature control and hydration, all that. We bring it up to floor level. It makes for a great dance space. We had a Michael Jackson tribute band one time, and what a great dance floor. Also, we can bring in tables for display for a science speaker. We had a garden club here that had things on display where people can come up and look. We've also had at floor level, put little cocktail tables and chairs, maybe create a little VIP seating. Or it comes all the way up to extend the stage another 12 feet. So that's our hydraulic orchestra pit, and very functional, depending on what's being programmed, is how, where it's placed, how it's used. Sometimes for, in our latest musical, Something Rotten, we actually lowered the pit about 12 inches just to give a little depth perception and height with the actors and one of the choreography numbers. So the original theater had an orchestra pit as well.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
That we discovered during, excavation. So
that had to be neat to see all these historic elements as you were going through the restoration process. What's your favorite piece that is from back when the original house was opened in 1926? Out of all the pieces that you kept, what's your favorite one?
That I kept personally? Yeah.
Or personally or in the theater?
I remember before renovation and all going through and up on this upper third floor, all these huge old reels of a variety of ratings, from the very highest rating that I had seen before. We didn't see the film, but you see the reel. The old letters, we have a few of the old letters. I have a big old W. My maiden name is Weaver, so they thought I should have the W. I loved, through renovation, there was this one time where the fly loft had not been completed. So, you know, we had started on the main part and then the back part, and then you had this open stage area and it just started snowing. And I'll never forget just walking out there on the stage, standing on the gravel. You have the big hole of the orchestra pit that hadn't been filled or anything yet, and just this light snow, and thought, you know, one day, here I get all teary-eyed. Anyway.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So lots of elements. I love the stories, you know, that people come in and tell. Our board chair, who's been an amazing and part of this project for 20 years, he brought his mother came and saw White Christmas, and she remembered coming in 1956 and seeing White Christmas.
Oh, it gives me goosebumps.
For him wheeling her in the wheelchair and then watching that movie together, you know, sharing those memories. Just lots of first dates happened at the Wayne Theater. I'm still waiting on my husband to take me on a date at the Wayne Theater. But
Mr. Strait, let's go.
Yeah.
That's a really special. It sounds like people are coming in back to the theater for nostalgia because there's so many memories made there, and that makes it a really special place.
Right. And now it's like we are creating big city entertainment, providing big city entertainment and small town Waynesboro.
Yes, so. I love that. And the audience actually gets to be a part of what's seen there. The patrons can actively put in suggestions for what they want to see at the Wayne. And you have provided an audience choice season out of that. How does that actually work?
Yeah, so you just email us at info@waynetheater.org or leave a message or tell us when you stop by of anything that you want to see on film or live on our stage. And we do take those suggestions seriously. And our classic film series continue, which is every Monday at 2 p.m. and 7 p.m., classic films, they continue to be our audience choice season. It helps us with the programming. And we hope that people are seeing that, you know, their suggestions that they send us, it may take a bit. It may, because sometimes it just takes a long time with contracts, what have you, but or the royalties of what's available and not available in the way of film. For instance, just found out Jurassic Park isn't going to be available this summer, but it will be at some point, and so all those things can change. So yes, we're excited about the audience choice season, but we try to announce that from the stage at lots of performances that this is your theater. We want your input and what you want to see on film or on stage.
Yeah. When does the audience choice season run? Is there like a 3-month run or how does, when does it run?
So for film, we do July 1 to the end of December.
Okay.
Season, and then January 1 to the end of June. For presenting is here today, gone tomorrow, those types of acts. That we are programming all the time for that. So that is rolling. But on June 17th, we'll be announcing our season reveal for our musicals and our plays that are throughout the 22-23 season.
Oh, that's exciting. How do you do that? Is this like a public event or?
Yes. It's free, okay. Open to the public. You can come. It'll be lots of fun. And a little secret is I hear our teen comedy improv troupe is going to storm the stage and do a couple little things.
Oh, fun.
After the season reveal, we're actually going to have a teen comedy improv. They're called the Improvisators show in the cabaret at 8:30.
Oh, that's all kinds of fun. I love that so much. That's great. Yeah, go ahead.
We try to offer a wide variety of genres.
One
of the components, but classic country, new country, bluegrass, blues, rock, classical, cirque. wide variety of genres. We've had dog shows that do all kinds of tricks. And, you know, so we try throughout world music. We try throughout a season to offer a wide variety.
Oh, that's great. I love that. And for your movies, and I think, is this true for your performances as well? The Wayne is Pay What You Will. Is that correct?
Yes, all of our films are Pay What You Will.
Okay.
That's right. And our signature speaker series for science and history. Those are also Pay What You Will, where we just have a donation jar at the front. And we want the theater to provide for anyone that wants to walk in something, several things during the month, so that the theater is for all. And someone that doesn't drop anything in the bucket is just as welcome as someone that gives $100.
Okay, that's great. Well, do you have reservations recommended, though, for the pay for what you will?
It depends. Our Monday movies, you don't have to. We do always list it, though, online, because when we build it into our system, then it also gets onto the online calendar. But, you know, there have been some films where we've had to turn people away and only accept those that got a reservation in advance. But those have been mainly, like, soon after Prince died, we showed Purple Rain. But no, we haven't had much of that. But it is general admission seating.
General admission. Okay. What do you mean by general admission seating?
So you can come in and choose your seat.
I got you. Okay. Yes. Excellent. All right. That's what I thought.
For
so,
the movies. For yeah. the movies and speaker series are general admission seating.
Okay. And then the other, like, live performances and events, they choose mm-hmm. their seat on a ticket system, I guess.
Right. And okay. sometimes people, even for a film, they want to go ahead and reserve a spot and say maybe they want to make a $5 donation when they do that instead of putting something in the jar. So there are different ways that people can give if they would like to.
Excellent. Yeah, you have movie film series available. One of them is a Faith and Film series that sounded really interesting to me. What's that all about?
So that series will be starting up again in the fall, and the films have yet to be selected. We're in the process of that right now, where we're working with four different local churches, and they want a place that they can try to get as many youth and teens to come together. And sometimes people don't want to go to a church. And so this is a safe community space. They're in the process of showing the films. They want to choose films that you would go to the movie theater and see. Not a first-run film, but not that's currently today in the first-run movies. But a film that kids would see. And then they're going to break up into some discussion groups afterwards. And also there's talk about connecting it with a service project as well.
Oh, cool. You know,
if the film has kind of an environmental theme to it, then the service project would be related to that. And it'd be some hands-on, anyway, something positive for our community.
I like that aspect a lot. That's
and they're looking at all different topics.
Yeah,
mental health, LGBTQ, to environment, to anyway, a wide variety of topics.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. Yeah, if I were a teenager, I'd like to plug into that. I love movies, so that would be a fun way to do it. And then have that service piece afterwards. That's beautiful. What is the Studio Wayne? Is that your arts and education program?
Yeah, so we've given it a title for our classes and all. We call Studio Wayne, but it is kind of the name of our education umbrella. And we have a wide variety of classes from music and art and theater. We also have workshops that then end in performances. And we recently purchased a space that's part of the Wayne campus where we'll be able to give home to Studio Wayne. And we're very excited about that because we're always juggling the spaces with rehearsals and classes and performances and films and all. So to be able to give some a home to the Studio Wayne space is really exciting.
When is that open? Did you mention that? Did I miss it? When is it opening and where is it?
So we are right now having electrical and HVAC work done.
Gotcha.
And we need to make it more accessible, add some accessible bathrooms, create the space so that it is, you know, up to date and ready to roll. But this summer, you will see it opening.
Oh, my gosh. Is this separate from the building, the theater that you're in now, or a part of it?
Yes. So the theater, where we are now, we actually own up the hill to the end of the block now, except for the parking lot right next to the theater. So that was our last little component to kind of securing this hillside to what we call the Wayne campus.
So, I gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's in the same vicinity, same area. That's really great. It looks like you, speaking of the art education program, you offered virtual classes through the pandemic. What? I'm interested and curious. What were some of the challenges and also rewarding parts of being able to offer those?
So on March 13th, we closed our doors. And my staff then began working from home. And we only had about a 2-week transition. And through that 2 week, I felt like it was really important for us to keep our name out there to stay relevant. This was, we were changing to survival mode. And how can we stay relevant? Because we are a space where people come together.
Yes.
So, we always wanted the component of having cameras in the theater. It was just one of the things during construction we had to cut. We couldn't open without lights and sound, but we could open without the whole video component. So it was always something we wanted to build back into the theater in our production, our technical booth. But COVID just fast-forwarded that plan, which was great. So we added this vMix system. We added several cameras to the auditorium to be able to have different angles. And the learning process began very quickly. And so we just started a virtual platform offering things 6 days a week at no cost. And on Monday, we still did Monday movies. We offered the intro and discussion part, and then people could get the movie through Amazon or, you know, wherever on their own to watch. On Tuesday, we had acting tips with Leslie.
Fun.
On Wednesday, we had hair, wigs, and design with another staff member. And on Thursday, we had singing tips with Sarah on Thursday. And then Friday, we did Flashback Fridays where we show photos of past performances and shows, kind of wanting to relive those great moments. Don't forget the lane. And on Sunday, inspirational songs. And so actors that had worked with us before in our productions, they would record stuff at home and send it to us, allowing us to put that up. We called it At Home with Wayne.
Oh, that's fun.
And we did a special and hosted a show, what we called. And then we also did our workshops virtually, as what you probably saw with the kids.
Yes.
We offered field trip opportunities to schools. They could buy it by the class or the full school, so that you could watch a theater show. Of course, there was something missing in it all, but still trying to provide and connect at some level. We also held a statewide conference.
Wow.
Scheduled here at the Wayne, where just like the main people running the conference came, and then everyone else joined virtually. We still today host Rotary Noon Club every Thursday at noon, and have the setup so that if you are, you have the choice of attending in person or remotely. But the way we have our cameras set up is that if you join remotely, you can still see and talk to those that are in person and vice versa.
Very nice. So,
yeah, and I think that that is a component that we will continue to offer. We offer a lot of our shows with a virtual component as well. And it allows maybe a grandmother that doesn't live nearby, or for some reason, there's always going to be people that cannot physically get here for one reason or another. And so to be able to still provide at some level a virtual experience of a show or a class, we will continue to have as part of our lineup as often as we can.
That's got to be one of the rewarding parts for sure, is this expansion of what you're able to offer through those challenges and that never give up attitude you all have over there.
That will continue as we develop the Wayne campus.
That's right.
There's more to come.
I hear it, and I'm loving every minute of it. I want to ask just a quick question about the virtual tickets. So, you know, the grandmother that maybe lives in Florida but still wants to see their grandchild perform, they can buy a virtual ticket. It's just for that time of the performance.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And then it's no longer available, correct?
Right. Now, during COVID, we did have some things that you could click on at any time and watch it whenever you want it.
Okay.
We had done a couple of musicals. We did like a two-person show, and we offered a couple of those types of things. But here forward, it's just for when the show is actually happening.
Got it.
And it's live.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
And our speaker series, we also do live, but you can watch that on our Facebook page or YouTube channel, because that is just an open type of event. But our ticketed performances that we are allowed to have a virtual component to, those are when it's actually happening.
Nice.
But you can pull it up on, if you have a smart TV, pull it up on your TV at home.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be fun.
It's good. You have one device.
One device. Gotcha.
One link per device.
That's good. I like the way you have that set up. The classes in the studio, or Studio Wayne, that you offer all look really fabulous. And one of them caught my eye, and that was Stories on Stage Superhero Edition. That looked super fun. Is that new? And can you tell us more about that?
So we have a variety of classes, and whenever we can put a theme to it, it is super fun, not only for us, you know, our directors and instructors, but also for the kids. And who doesn't want to be a superhero?
Right? That's why
I have a lot of women on my team here.
Yes. Preach.
But we also have, you know, classes that are just for adults. And one in particular is, you may have heard of like a paint night. Yeah. Well, our paint night is not like a typical, this is what you're going to draw, this is what it's going to look like. Our paint nights also allow for the creativity component. And okay. Our instructor is amazing for that. We not only offer improv for kids and teens, but also for adults. And what a great date night. We call it Sips and Giggles, where you can come and have a couple beverages, and then the director takes it from there. And it is a super fun night. We actually, at our gala coming up, are going to be auctioning off one of those nights in our silent auction. which is online, that even if you're not coming to the gala on June 10th, because it is sold out, we anyone can participate in the silent auction.
Ah, excellent. Yeah, and they should get the sips and giggles. Both my husband and I do stand up. I think we should go.
Yes.
I think we would need a time to really enjoy it. That sounds like a fun date night idea. See, laughers, all the ideas you can get from this podcast of things to do. That's a great thing to do. Or I imagine you could go with a girlfriend too.
Oh,
right.
Oh, yeah. And we have, you know, other classes as well. But yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I like that.
Girls' night out always.
That's... Sounds sips and giggles. That's a perfect girls' night. Yeah. Well, if laughers want to support or get involved with the Wayne, what would you recommend?
Go to our website at waynetheater.org. It's right there. If you want to be an ambassador, that's what we call all of our volunteers, because we feel like you're not only an ambassador while you're here helping us with the show, but you're an ambassador when you leave our building out in the community, whether it be your church, your friends, your civic organizations, whatever your network may be. When you are out in the community talking about the Wayne, you're an ambassador for us. And we thank everyone who's part of that. Ambassadors and volunteers, we have front of the house. People can help out with being a greeter. Someone's experience happens before they even walk in our doors. So we have a crossing guard. We have someone opening the door, welcoming them here. They will also be there at the end of the night saying, thank you for coming. We have check-in scanners scanning those tickets. We have ushers, concessions, you know, a variety of front of the house to make it all work. We also have behind the scenes, back of the house opportunities with constructing a set, painting, basic painting, and then more intricate painting. We have facility, you know, we have volunteers that help us with our facilities. At times our stage needs painting or light bulbs replaced, or a lot of facilities here within the Wayne campus. And whatever your talent is, we have a place for you. We also work with people with special needs. And one of our very best follow spot operators is highly autistic. So there is a place for everyone in the theater to find some type of success. We encourage everyone to become a partner in the arts at whatever level they feel comfortable. And there's a place on our website at waynetheater.org where you can donate and learn more about how you want to get involved.
That's really great. Yes. Yeah, so the website's a wealth of information. As we wrap up here, also, can they follow you on social media as well?
Yes. Website, Facebook. We love your email address. We send out a Monday newsletter every Monday. You can see what's going on, but it's a fun place to be. And we are all here in this together, and we cannot do this without our volunteers. We have committees. We have a board. We're a nonprofit organization. And some people we see very often, some people we see once or twice a year. So it's whatever suits your schedule and how you want to be involved. But give back to your community and greater community in some way, shape, or form. And the Wayne Theater is a fun, great place to do it.
I couldn't agree more. So laughers, we're going to make sure that we put their website and social media information for you in the show notes as well. And I want to thank you, Tracy. This has been fun and informative and exciting to learn about all things the Wayne. And it's been a pure delight speaking with you today. And I'm very much looking forward to checking out more events myself held at the theater. So thanks again for coming on the show today.
Thank you so much. It's been so great. I appreciate you having me, and I appreciate expressing the interest in the arts. That's really important. And what a great way to feed the soul. So thank you.
You are welcome. I am all about feeding that soul through the arts. And Laughers, you can get more information on upcoming events, movies, performances, workshops, classes, and more by visiting their website at waynetheater.org. That's waynetheater.org. waynetheatre.org, and follow them on social to see what's happening and get plugged in. We'll be sure to put all that information for you in the show notes as well. And of course, lastly and most importantly, thanks for tuning in, Laughers. Out of all the podcasts out there, you picked us, and we think that's pretty darn special, just like you. Until next time, keep smiling. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. We'll be dropping a new podcast every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, so check back for another uplifting episode. Come to an X2 Comedy show or let us bring a show to you. To find out more, head to x2comedy.com. Be sure to share us with a friend. Until next time, cheers.